Hey, welcome to the show. This is episode 4. Today we're talking about Final X Rutgers. I'm Jay.
And I'm Steve.
And this is The Inner Circle. All right, so we are back from a crazy weekend in, I don't know how to say, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Piscataway,
New Jersey. Nuts. So let's jump right in. I think there's nowhere else that we should start other than Zane and Yanni, which was obviously one of the most anticipated matchups. And I want to say that it didn't disappoint in the, you know, entertainment value.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it did disappoint in that I think most people feel like maybe we were gypped out of some extra action in the third match.
Yeah, as far as the action goes, as far as the wrestling goes, it was world class. Some of the best wrestling I've seen in a long time. Either one of those guys, I'm super for either one of those guys on the world team and then on the world stage. But
absolutely. But. So let's talk the first match, because I think we were all a little bit taken aback by that.
Definitely.
And we probably shouldn't have been, because we all got kind of caught up on the, you know,
U.S. Open.
Yeah, and just a little bit of that Yanni hype, and which is deserved. But at the same time, Zane's the real deal, and he might have been cut short, or you know, we might have been selling him a little bit short the last couple of weeks. Everybody, and really, what we had talked about last week was that Yanni's obviously got some insane defense, and we felt that the way to beat him, easier said than done, obviously, but the way to beat him would be to shoot and finish.
Yeah.
Right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you shoot on a guy and you say, this guy's got some crazy defense, because you hesitate. You shoot and you kind of pause, and the next thing you know, he's hitting that world-class defense.
Yep.
And I think Burrows was actually guilty of that against Chimizo a little bit in his like second or third match with Chimizo. And then he kind of said, you know what? My double's better than his defense. If I just shoot and score, rather than change up my game plan because I think he's good, I'm going to be fine. And I think that's exactly what Zane did.
No, it's actually a pretty good parallel because, I mean, there you saw his double early in the match against Zane in the first match. It was pretty gorgeous. I mean, he level changed below his hands, got to his both ankles, and finished all the way through. Knee punch super, super deep, and just finished. Like, there was no waiting around, finished. And then doing what I was hoping Zane would start doing, rolled right into parterre, right into a leg lace, which is, one of the biggest differences from U.S. Open, from World Team Trials.
If he can make a takedown worth 4 points, that's going to be tough to catch up.
Absolutely.
For Yanni, defensively.
And that being said, so Yanni still came out really strong. I think he got the first takedown pretty quick. Super nice single. But Zane has really good defense and got his offense going really well.
Yeah, he was definitely ready to go. You could see that in the way that he came out there. He wasn't slow to attack. He wasn't hesitant. Neither of them were. And we got a great first match. It wasn't what I expected for a score. It was a 10-4 final. It was an 8-4 match where I think Yanni went for something at the end, which you can't blame him for. You're only down 4 points. That's exactly what I want to see. That's what I appreciate out of guys who actually go for it at the end. But he gave up another two. So it's an 8-4 match. Turns out to be 10-4. And a really solid victory by Zane. And so, you know, they're not given very much time to then go and kind of debrief and make their adjustments.
Yep.
But I thought there were a lot of adjustments made.
Absolutely.
His
defense, too, Zane was in on two ankles as well, and I thought he was dead to rights. Zane was on his butt. It looked like Yanni was about to transition into a lace, and then Zane gets his hips ups and pops his ankles out from underneath him, and there's no score. I'm like, wow, that's really, really impressive against a finisher like Zane, or like Yanni.
So match two kind of goes more the way that I would have expected the first match or all the matches to go, which is Zane's firing, and even in Zane's best shot, it comes out 4-4, 4-2-2. And that's more of what I expected in the first one. Beautiful shots by Zane, good defense by Yanni, and then a few times Yanni actually gets up on his own offense and kind of makes Zane look silly once or twice.
Yeah, he had that nice little, it looked like a knee pull single and popped his head to the outside.
Disappeared.
He just looked like a duck slash single thing. It was beautiful.
He just vanished, really, really, and all of a sudden he was behind.
What was that nice little misdirection arm drag, too? Yeah, did you see that?
That was nice, too. Oh, and the other thing, though, is, and again, I wasn't really surprised by this, but I think Yanni was in some positions in the first and second match where he is going for the for his style of defense, and he does give up some soft exposures, I think.
Who, Yanni?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think maybe the thing to do is to clamp. And again, I'm not telling him what to do, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes he should clamp. I think he's still got room to improve because he gave up a couple of soft exposures mm-hmm. where it's like, wow, look at that Yanni defense. But at the end of the day, he still gave up two. And not only did he give up two, but Zane was still threatening to finish the takedown. And I know you don't get any extra mm-hmm. points for that, which we hate.
Yeah.
But if Zane gets on top, he's already shown that he can score more.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
You know, at some point, as much as I think his defense is some of the best we've ever seen, at some point, you have to bail.
Yeah.
And if he's going to give up a soft two mm-hmm. and then still give Zane an opportunity to finish on top, you know, he's asking for more trouble there. So, again, awesome by Zane, some adjustments by Yanni, and then
the last 50 seconds.
It hit the fan. Again, entertainment value is at an all-time high. We had a crazy exchange. It was scored 2-2 on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a little bit of evidence both ways that, oh, did Zane push off or did Yanni chest wrap?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, it was called 2-2 on the mat. You and I were actually on opposite sides.
Yeah.
So we got both angles of it, mm-hmm. and neither of us thought it was Zane's points.
Yeah. And I still don't.
And neither of us thought that Yanni gave up any exposure at the very end. Now, that being said, I've watched the replay about 8,000 times.
yeah, me too. 8,001.
Yeah, so if you want to call that 2-2, that's probably the closest you're going to get to a 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
But what did the referees say there on the tape?
The ref on the tape, so Zach Errett is he's the guy. He's one of the sideline judges. And this was tweeted by Willie Saylor. So Zach Errett, one of the best officials on the planet, says, you went 2 blue, which is Sammy, the guy that's actually reffing the match. The other chairman on the other side went 2 red, and then Zach went 2-2, which means...
That scored 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if you're trying to do the math in your head, that just means it's 2-2.
Right. So obviously that's the exchange.
So if you don't know what the score is at this point, with that 2-2, it should be 8-6 Yanni.
Right.
And nothing should have changed.
And then there's a little bit of a scramble at the end. Zane's still going for a turn, and Yanni kind of face plants, headstands, mm-hmm. And avoids some exposure there. And initially, when we saw the challenge brick come out,
that's what we assumed.
That's what we assumed, protest. Because that's when you throw the challenge brick, right? Yeah. YOLO brick.
YOLO, that's what I thought, and that's very popular out of the Penn State corner. So.
And I totally get that, because that's an opportunity to seal the match, seal mm-hmm. the night, right? Because he had already won the first match.
Yep.
So you throw that brick just in case there was a fraction of a second of exposure.
Yep. I don't blame him there, yeah.
And then the, you know, the night's over.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a better argument than the earlier.
Sure.
To be honest.
So that's what they were showing actually up on the Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
They were showing that last exchange, the last few seconds of the match. And we're watching it. And like I said, we both saw it live from opposite mm-hmm. angles. We didn't think it was two. We saw the replay. We still didn't think there was any exposure. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking that's not going to get overturned. Yep. We'll see match three. And that's the way pretty much everybody wanted it. But then after a couple minutes in, they're a couple minutes into the review, and they switch to
the 50 one. Seconds earlier. And we start watching it on the screen. We're kind of confused because we assume that the whole challenge was for that last few seconds, but they keep showing the same thing on top of the screen. And I believe what they showed on the screen was what they were watching in the corner, right?
That's my guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but maybe somebody told them, hey, you know, you're showing this on the screen. That's not even what they're going over.
That's not even what it is, yeah.
So they might have gotten like a heads up from somebody else down by the referees.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were just both so surprised because we're thinking, well, okay, I mean, maybe you can rescore that, but why are we even looking at it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way everybody felt.
Yeah.
You know, so if they're going to say it's 2-2, then it was 2-2, and so much time had passed that then when they overturned it,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you, when they overturned it, we still didn't know what it was that they overturned.
Yeah, exactly. It almost took till the end of the whole, you know, him getting his hand shaked and him talking. It took until the end of that till I figured out, oh, wait, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, and really details are still coming out. And I think that's why we read about a protest. Because at first I'm thinking, all right, you're going to protest it, but
yeah.
What are you going to protest? They called it two for the other guy. It's a, you know, it was a judgment call. They reviewed it. They overturned their judgment call. They're not going to overturn it back, right? I mean, they even tried to throw their brick at the end. Like, hey,
And they didn't accept that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the protest, from what I understand, and I don't know if you have that queued up anywhere.
No, it was for that 2-2 earlier in the match. And they scored that. Zane, yes, got two. He got exposure. And Yanni didn't. And my argument is, with this whole thing, is Zane's legs go absolutely limp when Yanni's pulling him through. To me, it looks like Yanni has a chest wrap. He's in this very common, you know, crackdown position that he's always in. Now, I have to say, Zane countered this really, really well. He was in way better position because he shelved that leg that he was cracking down, which is different from what he used to do and kind of stopped Yanni's defense. But anyway, so Yanni was in that chest wrap position. It looked to me like he initiated the pull through, and I have a hard time seeing that Zane can just go limp, and that can be his initiation.
Yeah, how with that much effort is a limp or rigid, not rigid, but
and here's
extended,
what,
a limp but yet but yeah, extended like, Zane going to turn one of the best wrestlers on the planet?
Like your legs are going to go limp. You start flopping in the wind, and you're telling me that's his initiation? That's a wrestling move? I can't see that against Yanni. So this again, is what Dake says.
Okay.
So Dake says, Zane had straight legs swinging across his back. That's Yanni's action. I totally agree with that. 100%.
On my first watch, when I watched it live, I didn't agree. Mm-hmm. Since watching the replay, I do. So I actually would have scored it completely differently. So here's what I would have done. When I watched it live, I would have called it 2-Zane, and that's the end of it. Then on review, I would have called it 2-Yanni.
Yeah.
And instead, they called it 2-2 on the mat and then 2 for Zane. So they went completely opposite direction. Because initially what I thought was, from my angle, and I know we were, like I said, we were on opposite sides, but from my angle, it looked like it was Zane's move and Yanni just kind of did the, oh, I'm going to roll with it rather than fight it. So
yeah.
I can take credit for the move too,
mm-hmm.
which I think guys do that. Yeah. I don't think that was necessarily the case here, but that's what it looked like to me when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Then I rewatched it, and it didn't look like Zane generated enough. Like, sure, maybe it was his attempt, but he didn't generate the power that it took to make that roll through happen.
And what was also pretty obvious is that not only did Yanni, to me, pull through, but he rolled through over his back and then landed
and then
in
landed
better position.
In great position.
So how can you say that that's not his initiation? Mm-hmm. If he didn't initiate, I don't think he'd land in that good of a position. He probably would land in worse. Now, he landed in better position.
When he landed, was Zane still exposed when there was kind of a pause in the action?
Well, there wasn't even a pause. That's the crazy thing. It just rolled right through, and then Zane kind of ended up in the same exact chest-down position, and they wrestled through that position. Mm-hmm. But to me, when I see Yanni come back up higher and his hips are up higher and he looks way better positioned than he was before, that's just another reason why I believe it's Yanni's move. And it always should go to the initiator. And if worst case scenario you want to call it 2-2, I hate the 2-2, but that's all right. I'll take the 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
But and I was almost to a point where like, all right, this kind of looks like Zane's thing. And then I keep watching, I'm like, no, there's no way. It's Yanni's initiation.
So, regardless of how you score that, though, it's a moot point.
And that's the thing, exactly.
Because what they're really protesting, from what I can understand here, is that you can't throw the brick at the end of the match and just say, hey, just dial it back as far as you want and find something that maybe you can rescore. That's some Colat-level nonsense right there.
And this is actually something that happened. I've seen a lot out of the Penn State corner. They'll do this. They'll throw at the end of match to just because if I lose, that's fine. But if I win it, then there's no chance to keep wrestling. Mm-hmm. So here's the official rule, and this is posted by Flow Wrestling. So the official rule is no challenge can be requested after the end of the regular time of a period, except when the points are added to the scoreboard after the referee's whistle, or in case action occurred just before the time is over. The coach has 5 seconds, obviously much longer than 5 seconds, 5 seconds from the question score is posted on the official scoreboard to request a challenge.
Okay, so I'm thinking of a situation where, think back to World Team Trials, and you've got Ashton Hydeley or Nolf Imar, right? And those two situations occurred at the buzzer.
Yeah.
So, yes, under those conditions,
you
a coach
a challenge.
Can challenge after regulation has ended. Because they're still trying to figure out how that's being scored.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you see it, the points go on the board, now you have five seconds to say, I agree or I don't agree, and let's maybe throw that brick. what I saw from the Penn State corner, from the Nittany Lions corner, was the match was over.
Over. Far and, past 5 seconds anyway.
And the brick comes out, and I'm thinking, okay, well, clearly what they're checking, the logical thing for them to be checking...
was that last exchange.
With a brick that late is, did that headstand mm-hmm. by Yanni lead to any... of any exposure.
And that's what most people assume, I think.
Yeah, especially like I said, when they start, when that's what they started playing. So is that a completely moot point? Mm-hmm. You know, is it a situation where, let's say it was two for Zane. Let's say an mm-hmm. expert comes in right now and says, exactly. hey, mm-hmm. Inner Circle guys, you're wrong and here's why. Mm-hmm. I don't really care.
Yeah, because the rule says, you not only did they fail on the 5 second rule, it was 50 seconds after everything happened. They also did it after the match was over, which you're not allowed to do as well. Right. There's two stipulations right. within that rule.
And so here's what I would have to say, because I think there's an argument that comes back at us, or just comes back in general, that says, well, look, the important thing is to get the call right. And I would disagree with that, because calls are wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. I think part of being a successful wrestler and a successful organization is knowing when and how to challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's never going to be a ref. We give refs a hard time, of course, because we do. Mm-hmm. Because we think it's easy. But there's never going to be a ref that's perfect. It's as close as it can get in freestyle, because you've got a great system of checks and balances with the tables yeah. and the mm-hmm. white paddles mm-hmm. and offered and confirmed.
Pretty much as close
and
as you can get. Yeah,
and
right.
they can have their own table reviews and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's as good as it's been. I generally have much less of a problem with freestyle officiating than I do with folk style. I feel like folk style officiating is always in the way of the match.
Yeah.
Freestyle officiating very rarely mm-hmm. is. But here's an occasion where it was. But, you know, again, I don't think that you just have to say, oh, well, even if it was Zane's points, that the most important thing is getting the call right. That's not true, because you have to know how to throw the brick.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Nittany Lions corner, for as much as I love and respect Kale and Cunningham, mm-hmm. if they're going to throw the brick wrong, then they're not going to get points that they deserve in the world championships, or they're going to, maybe they get the brick taken away. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But you have to know how to do that if you want to get the points that you feel like you're owed. And they were wrong.
And on top of that, I mean, you changed the strategy of the match. If Zane knew, and Zane's a good wrestler, he would have known if he had lost that challenge and it was 6-6 with 50 seconds left, Zane's going to wrestle differently. He's going to go for a push out. Or exposure or a mm-hmm. takedown or something different. You have 50 seconds. You know? Both of them are going to wrestle differently.
And the reason that I don't think they have that in place, and this is sort of what our friend James was saying the other day, is the reason that they don't have a system in place to give them that time back is because you're not supposed to be able to challenge that late.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
they can't feed them back that 45 seconds and let them re-wrestle it, you know, after changing the score, because you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Which is an affinity in wrestling.
Time, oh, you know, especially for those two.
Yeah, with those two.
Of all people, the points going up and down. Two.
It's crazy.
So, you know, I want to see it. I hate this protest, you know, train, because it is kind of a can of worms. But mm-hmm. you know what? They're right.
Yeah.
They're right. And, you know, people were complaining about the Soriano fix match too. And look, I would say the same thing. I would say the same thing to Fix's corner as I'm saying now to Zane's corner. You got to know when and how to throw the brick.
Mm-hmm. The refs should have known off the top of their head. There's multiple refs mm-hmm. there that should have known the rule that you can't do that.
So I think if you believe that it was Zane's points, then you believe that, you know, Yanni's not getting screwed here. If you saw the match where Soriano grabbed the headgear, then you're thinking that Fix got screwed. And look, mm-hmm. I somewhat agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that he pulled the headgear. But the thing is, like we said before, there's bad calls that happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One. Two, Fix was not up on his offense for any of that match. So it's hard for me to feel bad for somebody mm-hmm. who throws a challenge brick for a hand to the face. That's mm-hmm. how we thought he was going to win the match.
Yeah, that's true.
You blew your challenge brick trying to earn a point off of a hands to the face mm-hmm. call. That's crap.
Yeah.
You deserve to lose that challenge. You mm-hmm. deserve to lose your brick. And you deserve to not have one at the end mm-hmm. when you know you thought there was a headgear pull.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I don't know what to tell you. Do I think that Fix got screwed? Sure. But I never thought that should have gone to review. It never should have gone to review.
No, yeah,
and
I
so
agree.
Neither should have this. Like, mm-hmm. that's a situation where I'm sorry that maybe the call is wrong. Wrong calls happen. There is a system in place, a very well-defined system in place for how to deal with those situations. If you can't take advantage of that correctly, that's your fault.
It's actually one of the clearest rules. it really is. Well written.
There's no judgment. There's no ambiguity. Throw the brick within 5 seconds, and you got to have a brick left to throw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you can meet those two criteria, then it's your right to have calls overturned and to get your fairest judgment possible. Mm-hmm. And
I feel bad because Zane got booed like crazy, and I was actually part of the problem. People were so angry with the refs. It was really, really ridiculous.
Well, you know, I mean, nobody likes to see a match end that way. And,
of course not.
And I'm not one of those people, right? People always say like, oh, is that how you want to see the match to end, with hands to the face or headgear pull or whatever? Look, the rules are the rules.
The rules are the rules.
They're the rules for the whole match in folk style. They're the rules for overtime. Mm-hmm. They're the rules for the first round and then the rules for the finals.
Yep.
So don't tell me, I hate when officiating changes. Just leave it what it is. Yeah. I don't even like that in like football, and they're like, "Oh, let the players play. It's the playoffs. Why? Why do you play with a different set of rules in the playoffs? The same rules. Just play by the rules all the time. Have one set of rules. Be consistent about it.
And that's the biggest problem is there's no consistency.
Yeah, I would hate to see, you know, a call overturned to decide the match like that. I hated to see it when
I forget the guy's name.
When he beat the kid from Pitt on a locked hands call.
Yeah.
Look, no one in the place, including the Penn State side, wants the match to end on a locked hands call, right? Everyone wants to feel like it's earned and whatever, and we were all disappointed.
But you're a professional. You got to know
that. But that's the rule.
That's the rule.
So I'm sorry that the fans are disappointed, but you know what? He deserves to win that match, and that's just the way it goes. So I do think we all felt kind of like we got screwed because it seemed like the match was over. It seemed like it was going to go to 3.
Oh, and I wanted a 3 so bad.
I wanted a 3 too, because you know what? I did think, regardless of how close the score was, I thought that Zane obviously out-wrestled Yanni in match 1.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that even though the score was a little bit closer, I thought Yanni out-wrestled Zane in match 2.
Yeah, I believe
2.
Too. Yeah,
and so that deserves a match number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Burroughs said, let's make it happen at Nebraska. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think it should probably, if it occurs... I think it should go down wherever Ringer and Dake are having it, just for some
maybe Fargo
consistency.
Whatever.
Yeah, wherever they can think to do. I think that's where Marulis had her.
But I think
we
both agree that it should happen.
It should happen, and I hate to say this because I hate the politics of it. I don't want to open that can of worms. I don't want to see protests all the time when a match is over or a tournament's over. I want it to be over. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah,
you know, I like the outcome to be decided that day. But that's the ref's fault that the outcome wasn't decided that day, because that was legitimately their mistake. Yeah. You know, this is not they got to see the match on replay a day later, and then they're was actually 2. Let's formally protest that. Mm-hmm. No, that's not the situation. The situation is there was an actual rules violation and misapplication by the officials.
Rob Cole, right away, it was already tweeted out within minutes that he's going to do an official protest. So
look,
that is in the works right now.
I thought they both handled it extremely well. They're both awesome guys. Yanni handled it well, in the sense that he said, look, I shouldn't have been in that position. I'm paraphrasing here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if he hadn't lost the first match by so much or at all,
he wouldn't be in that position.
And Zane took it well because, you know, he said to the crowd, look, I did what I had to do. There's bad calls. I'm the winner. Like, you're going to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciated the actions out of both guys.
And on a positive note, I mean, I'm not too worried about, after seeing what Zane just did, I'm not too worried about either of those guys at the world stage. I think they both are, you know, world title, at least, you know, top 3 capable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Which is really exciting for USA Wrestling in general. So I'm not too worried about which one goes. I just want the right one that belongs to go going.
So I do think it should happen. And I almost never say that. Do I think it will happen?
No.
And the reason I don't is for the reasons I just said. I don't think that's a can of worms USA Wrestling wants to open. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to find any excuse to say, yeah, well, maybe, but we're not going to.
No, it's a dangerous precedent, of course. It doesn't want to happen. You don't really want this to happen every single year.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I mean, it's a, it like we were saying, it's a very, very obvious, well-written rule. Mm-hmm. You know.
And so here's the thing. Like, it's not that Yanni doesn't win if they protest and win.
Exactly. That's the biggest point.
He wins match 2.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and then they wrestle a third. So there's no, for as much of a stink that everybody's putting up, there's no reason that Zayn mm-hmm. can't come out and smash him like he did in round one.
Yeah.
In round three.
Yeah, go beat him.
And then, you know what? We all eat our words and it's over.
Go beat him.
And it's now deserved. We all feel that it's deserved. And guess what? I'm Team Zayn immediately.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
just like I'm Team Downey because, you know, it just... It's the same thing. Like when you don't think it's deserved, that's why Downey's getting so much slack. Although it was nice to hear him get cheered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people were actually really positive for him.
They were, and that's a good thing.
Even though he walked on the mat with sneakers,
did he?
Yeah, he did. He's wearing like Jordans or something.
Oh, no. On the mat. Like, ugh. But you know, I think when it's not deserved, it's just a little bit of like a what's the word I'm looking for? Not a cliffhanger, but it's just sort of like that awkward kind of, I don't know. Yeah, he backed into it.
You just don't feel right about it.
You know, and you kind of feel like Zayn backed into it. Even though he handled him the first match and kept it close in the second match, you still kind of feel like it was like just off.
Well, you just hate to see this. You just want it to be done the way it is. It's supposed to be done. You've got 2 out of 3 matches to beat the guy, and and if it all goes well, then you feel like you do with Gwizdowski and Gable, and you feel like you do with Jaden and Bo. It was very obvious who won. These are the world team members. I just want that for everybody, you know.
I agree.
And that was literally 99% of all the matches we saw on Saturday. They were all very clearly this is who's going. There was no controversy. So, that's all we want.
And I would like that because then we can actually break down some of the merit of the match instead of talking about
the
last 30 seconds of match two when there's plenty to talk about between those two because they're both excellent wrestlers.
Oh, so outstanding, world class.
We'll get to some of the other guys in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get back into it. Obviously, there's a lot of other stuff to talk about. We're just going to hit on a couple of the other matches, and then we'll kind of follow up with some of the earlier rounds of the day and some of the lesser hyped matches in a future episode. But I think the next one that's worth talking about is heavyweight is 125.
Yeah. You know, nothing too surprising. One thing that I did notice is, you know, Gable's there, just not yet. It's really maybe one more year, maybe even 6 more months.
Yeah, so I mean, 4-4 and 3-3, it doesn't get closer than that.
You don't get much closer.
Right, it doesn't get closer. So here's really my take. I actually thought Gwiz looked one-dimensional.
Mm.
He kept doing his snap to a snatch single, mm-hmm. and it was very rarely there. Meanwhile, it seemed like when Gable decided to shoot, he scored.
Yeah, I mean, he got those. He did in the second match a nice little cross ankle pick, and he got a one out of it. So I think the biggest thing with him is just finishing his shots and not just giving up those ones. Because if he did, he would have won that match. He would have been 4-3.
Yeah, it kind of brings me back to his matches against both of his matches really against Kassar.
Mm-hmm.
In that, it seems like he's afraid to pull the trigger. I mean, what the guy is so good. He whooped up on Adam Kuhn.
Yeah,
and really just being Gable. And look, he bothers me sometimes as a person. He's a phenomenal wrestler.
Yeah, outstanding.
You can't take it away from him. He changes levels so fast. Mm-hmm. He does not move like a big man, even more than Gwiz, right? I mean, he's less of a typical heavyweight even than Gwiz. And you need that to wrestle internationally
because
you don't get any of those mm-hmm. big, slow guys on the international level.
Mm-hmm.
And he changes levels. He gets to ankles. He makes big guys topple. He doesn't try and go straight in. But then when he does it with power.
Mm-hmm.
So he can kind of do it all. And I was just kind of confused in his matches with Kassar and really both these matches with Gable, Gwiz rather, that he's not pulling the trigger more. Because it seems like when he pulls the trigger, mm-hmm. he scores.
He scores, yeah.
It's only at the end that he got desperate that I think Gwiz ended up with a go-behind.
Yeah. And it seems like... And I think I brought this up the last time we were talking about him. It seems like anybody that's a little bit more athletic, it doesn't fit that, you know, typical heavyweight style, he has a bit of a hard time with. I mean, Kassar is definitely not the typical heavyweight. Neither is Gwiz, even though he looks it. He's a little quicker. He's a little more dynamic. And that definitely is not in Gable's wheelhouse. Does that mean that Gable can't compete with those guys? Absolutely not. He can. I mean, he's a couple points away from being on the world team. But that's just something he has to get over. He has to get past, you know, not finishing. You gotta finish on those guys, yeah. You know, because he can get in. He's gotten in on the legs on all those guys.
Absolutely. Now, so I mean, I think I'm pretty sure at one point in both matches, Gable was winning.
Beginning the second match for sure, he was up one. I think he was up one both matches.
In each of the matches, I think was rallied later.
Mm-hmm.
But the takedowns, the offensive takedowns, were quick. I mean, yeah. You know, big guys don't have the same funky level defense as some of the little guys. But even still, even for heavyweights, I thought the takedowns were quick. Yeah. These guys were crisp.
Mm-hmm.
When they scored, it was beautiful. And again, I was just surprised by the lack of offense because it really did seem like when they wanted to make it happen, they could, especially Gable.
It just showed how much they really did respect each other, and that says a lot for Gable, too, being 18, 19 years old and Gwiz respecting him like that.
No, I would agree with that completely. So, look, it was, I'll admit that it was tighter than I would have expected. I feel like if I'm in Gwiz's position, it's kind of hard to brag about that series of wins because as far as points are concerned, you guys scored at each other equal amounts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a tough thing to say. You know, I was clearly the better wrestler today.
He wore him out, man. He was pretty close to breaking.
It was definitely a battle. It was like I said, the action for heavyweights was so quick that it did feel like a heavyweight match at times where, you know, okay, not a lot's going on. They're kind of button heads. They're both trying to snap each other. And then all of a sudden you'd blink.
Yeah.
They'd be halfway across the mat and Gable would be holding on to Gwiz's shoelaces while he's trying to scramble out, you know. And they just both move so quickly. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that. I mean, we've seen Gwiz succeed at the world level. Although last year I would argue that he probably had a friendly bracket, but he made the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, again, I guess after seeing what we saw on Saturday, it's hard to be upset with either of those guys being your representative.
No, for sure.
And, you know, I think it's good when a guy gets pushed. So maybe this even helps Gwiz.
It definitely helps Gable for sure. He's definitely confidence-wise. He knows he's where he needs to be.
I think they'll both get better. I think that's important. I think we've seen, Burrows tweet that out about Dake. The years he beat Dake to make the team, he won gold.
Mm-hmm.
The years Dake was not in his weight class and did not compete against him, he did not win gold.
Wow, fun fact I didn't know.
Fun fact, wow. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he predates Dake's career, so you have to take those into account as well. But in, I guess, maybe 13, 15, and 16, or 13, 15, and 17?
17, mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Because he won in 17.
Yeah, so that's what it was. 13, 15, 17. He had to beat Dake to make the team. And he won golds. He won world golds those years.
Yeah, so if history repeats, you know, if there's any consistency.
I guess what I'm saying is that it's probably good for Gwiz to have this kind of a challenge. I'm sure he prepared for Gable, and I'm sure he's going to have to continue to. He can't take Team USA lightly. Not that I think that he would, but I think you kind of train with some extra motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's basically what Jordan was trying to say. I mean, I know that he respects Imar, but it's not the same in terms of preparation, at least not yet, as it is when he has to train against Dake. And I think it's probably the same for Gwiz. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, training for Kuhn and training for Gable, that's two completely different animals.
Yeah, we're definitely not hurting up there at heavyweight. We got a lot of guys, even in waiting right now, that could have a chance if Kassar ever, you know, goes freestyle, if Mason Paris gets a little bit bigger, a little bit better, you know, and we're doing okay up there.
Some of the younger guys too. I like Kirk Vliet. I think he'll be a force on the
Colton Schultz
big stage. Yeah, well, I'm still looking forward to
Colton
Schultz, Adam Kuhn. We'll get there too at some point when we do our Rutgers preview. But yeah, like I said, a little anticlimactic in that Gwiz did take it in two, but in terms of how close it was closer. It was closer than I thought. So I do give Gable some credit there. Man, that kid runs his mouth though.
Oh my goodness!
Would not stop talking during those matches.
Constantly,
you know,
crazy.
I know it was close, but you don't have a lot to say. You lost in two. I mean, those are the rules. You've been doing freestyle for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And Gwiz was eventually just like, "Yeah, just stop, man."
I mean,
he said it right to him. You just stop. That's enough.
I don't know what you want. Like, what do you have to talk about? You lost.
But I mean, at least he's consistent. You just know what's going to happen.
It's true. I just don't have a lot of patience.
Yeah.
For it.
Not my style.
I don't have patience for guys that run their mouths really ever. But at least some guys, they'll run their mouth before and they'll, you know, at least they'll just walk off the stage when they lose. You know, even Kamal Bey talking about.
Oh, being a Ferrari and Pat Smith.
Did you hear his post match?
What Pat Smith say something?
He said, "Oh, just want to clear something up for the record. I drive a PT Cruiser."
So, yeah, that's great.
That was pretty funny. That was another match that I thought, you know, wasn't going to be that closely contested.
No, I thought Kamal Bey was going to run through that.
But the last time they met, I remember it being pretty close. Mm-hmm. I forget if it was the Open. I remember it being fairly close. So I think I turned to my dad, who was next to me, and I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be an absolute blowout for Kamal,
mm-hmm.
or he's going to lose a one-pointer.
Yeah.
And so he handled him.
In the first match. Beautiful five.
Yeah, oh, solid.
Duck under, locked on the body.
Second match was a close match for Smith, mm-hmm. and then it looked like he was starting to wear out Kamal.
Especially in the last match.
Oh, he was starting goodness. To fade, and then by the last match, I'll say it, I lost some respect for him in the last match.
Yeah, he broke.
He broke.
He broke.
He looked like he was...
Just had to spray the knee.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
You know, it was, oh, should we throw the brick? Let's talk for a few minutes about whether or not we should throw the brick so I can catch my breath.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't have any patience for that.
But I have to say, I mean, it's great for Greco, those guys. I mean, that's the kind of matches you want to see in Greco. Unfortunately, in the U.S., we don't have that kind of following. We don't really have that kind of wrestling in the U.S. As far as Greco goes. When you look at international Greco, it's a lot different than USA Greco.
And I hope that we can see more of that. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I was a little bored with the Provisor Rao
mm-hmm.
matchup. I was a little bored with Sanders matchup, and you know
that Brady Kuntz in Nauri.
Yep,
that was pretty good.
They were cool. I thought Ellis Coleman was awesome.
Mm-hmm. He had Flying Squirrel.
Oh gosh, he's fun.
Yeah.
So I would like to see more of that, but what I don't want to see is a guy who can pull something out of his hat
at any moment,
but also wears out.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's really what happened. I mean, he was kind of by the end, second period of the third match, he was just biding his time,
yeah.
hoping for one big thing, trying to fend off, you know, attacks and keeps enough composure to maybe go for one big thing mm-hmm. at the end. And I, like I said, by the end, I was hoping he wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Because I hate that. I don't have any patience for that. And I understand Greco is different. I feel like Greco is a little bit more pacing and then mm-hmm. big move.
Yeah, well, you know? Because you can win it with 8, not 10.
Yeah. Know? But even still, you know, it seems like freestyle is a little bit more fluid. Even folk style is a little bit more fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of constant action.
Yeah.
Whereas it seems like maybe in Greco, it's a little bit more bursts.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's a constant push, a constant hand fight. But then when they decide to go, it's launch time.
Yeah, it's either 100%, you know, big throw or not.
Yeah, right.
Kind of thing.
Right. So, you know, I understand that's the conditioning is going to be different to prepare for those matches, but Bey didn't have it. He didn't have it.
No,
I mean, not even a little bit. He was absolutely fried by the end of that match. He deserved to lose. And you know what? Good for Pat Smith.
Good for Pat Smith.
I'll be excited to watch him.
Yeah, not too worried about him on the world stage. Should do pretty well.
Yeah. So again, not the result I expected, but I was happy. I was entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
good Greco match.
And I'm excited to see him move forward. So he'll be one to watch. I'll be keeping my eye on Pat Smith for sure. Obviously the other, you know, real big matchup of the night was Jaden Cox, Bo Nickel.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, you know, first match was definitely a feel-out match. That was the first time they've ever wrestled. And, you know, surprised that Cox didn't take a few more shots or open up a little bit more. I think he gave a little too much respect to Bo Nickel.
Yeah, I think you were talking about that before, giving guys respect. And he definitely, there was some times where they went an awful long time without either of them even moving.
No, not even moving. And I mean, and Jaden Cox is fluid and they'll do some cool stuff, but he didn't really take too many shots in the beginning. I'm also very, I'm a little, confused by the shot selection with Bo Nickel, knowing that, well, one, he was 10 pounds under, and we'll get into the other parts of that, him being 10 pounds under, but he was 10 pounds under, and he's clearly not, there's clearly a power, a weight difference between the two, and you're going to do a head outside single, and you're going to put yourself underneath a guy that obviously is bigger than you, obviously is stronger than you. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to beat that corner, if you're not going to, you know, disappear from underneath them, it might not be the shot to go for. And he went for, you know, a straight on double. He went for, you know, that high crotch a few times, got in on the high crotch, had to lift him up. And that's how Jaden scored his first points in the first match, just hipped into him you know, baseline defense.
But I also felt like the shots were from space.
Yeah.
The shots were not particularly well or set up with any sort of complexity.
And yeah, weird hand fighting.
I was surprised by that. I wasn't, because, I mean, like I said, obviously he's got excellent coaches. Mm-hmm. But what I would have expected Bo Nickel's strategy to be was go out there and be Bo.
Yeah.
Go out there, make things happen, create action,
what do you
hope,
get to lose?
And hope you're the one who comes out on top points-wise. Mm-hmm. Right? Let the refs struggle over it like Yanni and Zane.
Yeah.
That's the kind of match I expected where, you know, and force him to roll through and maybe Cox ends up on his, you know, exposing at some point, and you know, you end up with a 4-2 in your favor or a 2-1 in your favor where you get the exposure before you get taken down.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I really expected there to be some fireworks there, and not just, again, not just for my entertainment, but because you haven't wrestled him before, this is probably not the last time they're going to meet up. And it was a 2 out of 3.
Got.
So I would have liked to have seen, you know, for all that standing around, what did you learn? What did he take out of match one? What did he take out of match one into, you know, Taylor was sitting behind me, so he got up after the match to go brief him, you know, to go break down the match and talk him through his next one. What did he even have to say?
Yeah, and if anything, he didn't change at all in the second match. And Jaden Cox absolutely did. I mean, Jaden Cox did a great job. You know, I think it was a snap to a little single and finished on him with a nice, really clean shot. I think Jaden Cox even got in on a high crotch once. But Bo stuck with a blast double, and Jaden threw him by one time. I don't think he scored on it.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a flurry at the end,
which was Bo getting that high crotch.
But I want to see that for 6 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
Bo again. So what's the worst that happens? He gets teched. Well, now he knows to pull off a different strategy.
Yeah.
But I agree. I thought his strategy was the same in both matches.
Yeah,
it didn't
bizarre.
Work in match one, and I was surprised that he didn't try and change it up in match two. Did he? Do you feel like he believed he was close enough in the first match that, you know, if he stuck with the same strategy, maybe he ekes out a win in the second one, which the strategy seemed to be take safe shots.
Yeah.
Right? And by safe, I mean low risk, low reward. And keep it close, try and get Jaden on the shot clock, take it 1-1 into the last minute, and then hope something goes in your favor, like a push out or a takedown.
No, it wasn't vintage Bo to me. It wasn't, crazy, he lands in a weird position, who knows what's going to happen next type stuff. It was just very simple.
We said this about Yanni and Zane, I've said it about Jordan Burroughs versus Frank Chamizo. Do what you do best. If the other guy can stop you, then make your adjustments.
Yep.
But I didn't feel like we saw Bo being Bo. And when Jordan is being himself, when Yanni is being himself, when Zane is being himself, we see them be incredibly successful.
Absolutely.
Bo is unbelievably talented. And I understand it's his first time out here against a veteran, Jaden Cox, who's made 3 straight teams, well, now 4 straight teams, and medaled in each of the previous worlds that he's made the team. But you got to do you.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do what you do best, then I feel like you don't take away enough from the match to improve for next time. And I'd say that's anybody at every single level.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell. I mean, we weren't in the match, so maybe he was, and Jaden Cox really is that far ahead. Maybe he just can't.
He might be, but I've seen Bo do some funny things, even if he's going to give up points.
No matter what, I
would have risked giving up points to learn something.
Oh, especially in the second match, too. I mean, he only waited till there was 20 seconds left to get into the shot, and he almost scored.
But like what you said, you know, maybe it is he's just being overpowered because of his size. And I really believe that confirms my theory that he just did Taylor a courtesy
by going up.
You know, maybe it wasn't his favorite for Taylor. Maybe he just knows he can't beat him. But I'm of the mind that, again, this is not a high school or college team. I think that you've got to go where you're comfortable, but Bo being down 10 or so pounds to Jaden means he's down 10 or so pounds to everybody, even if he had beaten him.
Yeah.
He's not 10 or so pounds to every single guy out there. So I truly believe he said, okay, Taylor, you know, this one's yours. You go out and do your thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll bump up and try and take out Cox, and then maybe we'll meet in 2020. He weighed 87 kilos and change.
Crazy.
On a day where he should have been as heavy as possible.
Yeah.
So is Bose as heavy as he can possibly comfortably wrestle? 2 to 3 pounds over 86 kilos?
No. It doesn't make any... It's kind of... I agree. I think it confirms your theory. But he's definitely still the clear number two. I mean, there is no one else I'd rather have at number two.
He's destroyed everybody at the trials. I mean, I love Machiavello. I enjoy watching Hayden Zilmer internationally. Mm-hmm. But Bo ran through both of those guys. And you know, he definitely established himself as belonging in Final X, even at a weight up. Which, again, is impressive in its own right. Maybe he will try and put on weight. Maybe his intentions are someday challenge Snyder. I don't know. But I know he's awfully close to 86 to not be going 86.
Now, as far as Jaden goes, he's at the right weight. He looks absolutely beautiful out there wrestling. He's right in his element. He's 100% healthy. I think we're just seeing the beginnings of a superstar coming out of this guy.
So I saw this get tweeted the other day, and it's a little nuts. Jaden has now made 4 straight world teams, right, in his first 4 attempts. Guys he's beat to make the teams.
Dake.
Going in order. Herbert.
Herbert, yep. Mm-hmm.
Dake, Taylor, Nickel. All Hodge Trophy
all
winners.
All Hodge Trophy winners, wow. I just realized that. All Hodge Trophy
winners. Between them, they have 5 Hodge Trophies. He's beat them all.
Two golds.
Yeah, and 2 gold medals. Wow. And Herbert has a silver.
Yeah, Herbert has a silver.
And Herbert, I think, has 2 national titles. Mm-hmm. Taylor, 2. Dake, 4. Bo, 3. Jaden has beat them all. Jaden has kept each of those guys off of a world team.
Yeah, Jaden's like, there was no controversy in either of his matches.
And there rarely is with him. I mean, the guy's a class act.
I love Jaden. He's everything you want out of a wrestler. Super coachable.
I loved his post-match quote, too. He said... I wish I could remember it word for word. I'll have to try and go back and watch the tape. But he said, you know, I'm on the train. The train's destination is my goals. And if you're not on the train, then you're in my way.
I love it. I love it.
I was like, oh. You know, Jaden doesn't say much. Yeah. He doesn't get on camera much.
But sometimes it's pretty intense.
But you know what? He should be.
He
should be on there a little bit more because he's got some stuff to say. I thought it was pretty funny, his little comments about Bo when he said he was already representing the United States. And I thought it was pretty innocent by Bo, but it was still a funny way.
Oh, his face.
But I still wouldn't have said it next to the guy I'm competing against, even though I did think it was innocent.
I think it was weird that they sat up next to each other.
Oh, yeah. But he made that little face. He kind of gave him the eye and didn't say anything. And then later on, he's like, oh, I think that's a little weird because, you know, I'm still here.
And then he proved his point.
He proved his point. So, again, I wasn't going to be disappointed with the outcome of that match in any way because you either had a world champion defending his spot or you had a guy who now beat a world champion to make the team. So obviously I was going to have all the confidence in the world in Bo. If he managed to beat Cox, then I think he can beat anybody. So I feel great about that weight class. That's somewhere where I feel maybe the most comfortable. I mean, Jaden is...
Now, where does he go, though, in the Olympics?
I think he's got to go up. I think he's too big. I think he goes up.
I agree. Snyder Cox.
We will save this for another day, but I think that's a close matchup, and I think so too. I think maybe that I believe it's closer than a lot of people might give it credit for. I think Snyder always feels like an automatic. Jaden is at the top of his game right now, and you know what? They're opposing styles, and I would love to dig into that a little bit. So we'll get there.
We'll spend a half hour on just that for sure.
Other thoughts on Final X in general. Obviously, we didn't get to see Ringer and Dake wrestle.
Yeah.
Still not sure when or where that's going to happen. Hopefully, we get to go. You know, it's not about us. I know that. It's not about us as fans. It's Team USA. Mm-hmm. But it is disappointing to buy tickets to a card that includes, you know, 2 former world champions from last year. Yeah. And then not get to see any of them, and then possibly, if they do end up going a third match with Yanni and Zayn, we're not going to get to see that one mm-hmm. either. So, you know, for what we saw, worth it, awesome. I'd go back in a heartbeat. To think that we could have had almost double that,
right?
Is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, good for the team, good for USA Wrestling. Not great for growing the sport in general. We want to see wrestling.
Now that being said, I thought the RAC at Rutgers was a great venue.
Great venue, awesome.
They did a great job. The presentation mm-hmm. of the event,
yep.
was great.
Awesome. It felt like a legit.
The lights,
combat event,
the sound, the montages that they played before the matches started.
Really well done. They're starting to get it down to a science.
The digital banners around mm-hmm. the gym. Really good. Really, mm-hmm. really good. Weird side note, I was disappointed in the lack of USA Wrestling gear that was available. It was all Final X. Look, I don't care about Final X as an event. Like, Final X is about Team USA. They had 85 different Final X t-shirts and one USA Wrestling
mm-hmm.
t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know, what are we doing? Last time, we went to Wisconsin, and I came away with a backpack and a hat and a, you know, sweatshirt and a phone case and the backpack I got from my dad, actually.
But just want to let our listeners know, the reason why Jay is so mad about this is because he strictly wears wrestling gear every single day. That's all he wears. And on Fridays, he has casual Fridays, and he wants to wear a USA Wrestling polo. And there was no USA Wrestling polo, and so, he was very distraught.
I was a little disappointed because, yeah, I thought the old selection was good. I changed a couple years ago. I thought the old style with the black and the red and
big my mom has logo, one.
I thought that was a good style. They changed it. Nike's taken over. I looked through the site. There's, like, nothing I want. So I was a little mm-hmm. disappointed with the stuff there. And like I said, I think that that's just them playing up this Final X event,
mm-hmm.
Which is already weird because it's only happened twice, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
And it can only happen every 3 out of 4 because I'm assuming Final X means Final 10.
Yeah, they're not going to do a Final X for Olympics.
If they did, it would have to be Final VI because there's only 6 weights, right?
Yeah, no.
That's why they do it, right? So the X I'm guessing that's what the X stands for. There's 10 world team members.
I just thought it sounded cool, Final X. Maybe you're right.
The Final 10.
I also have a question. Why at every wrestling event now does there have to be a Marines pull-up bar? I'm so done with that. I don't care if you can do 25 pull-ups. Well, you know what, though?
I think that's a good location for them because
they were well represented. They were. Actually, they were. I do love what they're doing with the Marines there.
And the Army World-Class Athlete Program.
Oh, yeah, they all won.
Tell you what.
Did
military,
they lose?
The military squads for the women and the Greco guys? They came to
the military to women. The military women destroyed. Yeah. It was disgusting. Forrest Molinari yeah. lost her first match, but the second two she killed.
She's with Army and Hawkeye, right?
Or, oh, she's Hawkeye. No, never mind. So I'm thinking of
Burkett.
Yeah, she killed.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. She looks jacked. Holy crap! I'm scared of her.
She's a thug. I wouldn't want to go into combat against her. I would not.
No way.
She's awesome.
I'm running the other way.
But yeah, like I said, as an event, I thought it was pretty good. I thought there's just too much focus on it and not enough focus on the fact that it's about Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird take. It's probably, you know, my own.
Yeah.
I might be the only one that thinks that. But Rutgers is hosting Big Tens next March. How do you feel about being in the same building that we were, for Big Tens next year?
You guys were talking about it a lot. I don't see too much. I've never been to Big Tens. I don't know how well it fills out every year. But I would love for it to be there. I think it's awesome. It's going to be on the East Coast. I think it's a pretty awesome venue. You're going to have good seating right in the middle, basically on either side. They're not going to do the floor mats.
Mm.
They're going to do three mats in the middle, right?
I think that's the plan. I think they were going to mm-hmm. try and do 4, but I'm not sure they can fit 4.
But I like it. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I love the center. I do think it's a little small.
It did seem a little small.
But, you know, when we actually did the math out, I think it's the same size seating-wise as like Carver,
mm-hmm.
Carver Hawkeye, although it looked smaller.
Well, Carver, it has that 360 view,
mm-hmm.
So it makes it look a little bit bigger, but the rack is just the two sides,
mm-hmm.
but it's a lot of seats, and it's, again, it's really, really, you don't really have a bad vantage point with those two sides.
Oh, filled, no, the, so. There was absolutely not a bad seat in the house. No. I mean, we were lucky enough to be, third row back on the floor, sure. So our seats were great, but you know what? Everybody in the place got a show.
Oh no, everyone was chilling for sure.
And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And what that's pretty typical of wrestling events in general, because they do tend to be more intimate, and there's a lot of opportunity to go. So go, Pat Downey said, if you're not there.
It being on the East Coast. I think that's wrestling starting to grow out here. New Jersey is a powerhouse. New York has obviously a pretty decent amount of wrestlers. Mm-hmm. You know, the New England's growing year in, year out. So it being on the East Coast is important. The East Coast is relevant in wrestling.
Yeah.
So let's make it more relevant. Let's keep putting more venues out here. I'd love to see it, you know, at Madison Square Garden. That'd be awesome if we could see Big Ten's at Madison Square Garden one year.
Yeah, I think in general, probably one of the Big Ten schools will host, but mm-hmm. I liked Madison Square Garden as a venue, for sure. Even that little theater that they did.
Yeah, the Hulu Theater.
That they did Beat the Streets, mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. So yeah. I'd go back to that for something, for sure. But yeah, that'll be exciting to see how they mm-hmm. pull that off. I'm excited. Hopefully we get to go to that one. And, you know, I guess where we're probably going to go from here is next time I think we'll probably talk
Final X Lincoln.
Final X Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Break down a few of those. And really, we've got to keep following this Yanni and Zayn story. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's officially been put to rest. I don't know how, you know, we can kind of check up on the status of that protest, if it's, you know, public knowledge. So, you know, we're not really breaking news, guys. That's not really what we do.
Yeah.
But when we know, you know, we'll talk about it. Again, I'd be surprised if they wrestle a third match, but I want to see it.
Yeah, and it's going to be weird either way, whatever they choose. I'm still going to feel a little weird in my stomach. I obviously want to go Yanni's direction, but I don't want to even go to this point.
Honestly, I hope that we can forget about this in a couple of weeks. You know, the Downey thing is finally starting to blow over. Yep. Like you said, he got a good reception. That's fine. I'm ready for this to be blown over too, but in the meantime, it's got to get settled.
Yeah.
And I don't like sending a world team that feels controversial to Kazakhstan. I mean, it's weird, you know? I mean, I don't like the feel of that. I want to make sure that everybody's behind every athlete. And I think we've had that the last couple of years. We've been fortunate in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
That I've really felt like we've been able to throw our full support in.
Put the best team out.
I mean, even Cologne, you know. I mean, I know Garrett had got hurt and he went, but he had beaten Garrett several times in the past. So it wasn't a crazy bid to say, you know, Cologne, you got to get out there and replace him. And I don't think everyone was groaning or anything. But
No, he obviously did a great job, so.
Yeah. So all right, well we'll be back a little later on in the week, and I guess we'll like I said we'll do our Lincoln preview and predictions.
Yep.
We were wrong with plenty this week, so we'll be wrong with plenty more.
For sure. Make sure you follow us too.
Yeah, follow us and we'll probably post our predictions
on Instagram.
Send us your predictions, send us what you think is gonna happen, your reactions. Let us know what you think about the Yanni Zayn situation. We'd love to hear it. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Beano. Cooler than Coolio, stay in that studio, flyer than Peter Pan when I'm pushing that Rufio, it's that Stone Mountain CEO, wishing that you was me, girls on a tour bus, keep that ratio 2 to 3, flies, I'm on A-Town, put them up.